Cheater and the Rude with Jeff Kreisler and Lee Papa, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Good evening, New York, America, North America, Earth, world, etc., expanded out forever. This is Progressive Radio Network. You're listening to Cheater and the Rude. I am Jeff Kreisler, author of Get Rich Cheating and other guy that does stuff. Joining me, as always, is
Lee Papa. I'm the author of The Rude Pundit's Almanac and the blog, rudepundit.blogspot.com, also known as The Rude Pundit. And you can also catch me on Twitter at Rude Pundit.
Cool.
Man, I have pissed people off today, Jeff.
Oh, wait, I pissed them off too.
Did you?
Yeah. Why don't you tell everybody?
No, I'm curious. I know all my story. I'll tell you that in a minute, but tell me yours.
Well, let me tell you about my thing. So I was on the Dylan Radigan show on MSNBC today, and that's not an,
it's okay. We all know.
Okay. One of the topics was about Olympia Snow retiring. And, of course, when I go on the show, I'm doing the cheater. I'm the satire. Not what's on this show. This show is mostly my opinion, but, like, it's a satirical character who is a guy that's pro-cheating, pro-money, pro-capitalism.
And I would just like to say that just because Jeff's not doing satire on this show does not mean he's not funny.
Right. Thanks for saying that, Dick Nuzzle. Now that that's been cleared up. So my angle on Olympia Snow was that she has branded herself as this moderate. By the way, not everything, I don't remember exactly what I said on the air because it was a conversation, but my angle was, look, she's branded herself as a moderate. She's really a MINO, a moderate in name only, because she complains about how everything's all dysfunctional, yet she ends up going along with everything anyway, everything the extreme right wants. Today, she voted against the Blunt Amendment, but only because she's leaving in the fall.
Right.
So I had this whole thing.
Yeah, we should clarify that Olympia Snow, the senator, Republican senator from Maine, who was facing a Tea Party challenger in the Republican primary there, even though she was a loyal Republican but a moderate Republican, or what we used to think of as moderate Republican, she has decided to not run.
Right, and in her statement she said it was because of the dysfunction, the fact that, like, everything's polarized, and, like, you know, basically because her party is my way or the highway. And she doesn't like that. She's traditionally, or what she's claimed to be, is basically what might be referred to as an old kind of a Reagan Republican, maybe, or a Reagan Democrat might be a better way to look at it. Like, she's a social issues somewhat progressive, at least for the Republicans, but a fiscal conservative. She's for the spending cuts, but she isn't comfortable with the abortion talk and the contraceptive and all the social issues that are coming up again. At least that's what she puts herself out. And my point was, on air, she has branded herself as a moderate. You know, she's like, oh, boo-hoo, I'm only one of the 100 most powerful people in the country, and I can't get anything done. Let's form a third party, the pity party. And then I said something to the effect of, now she's going to go, having branded herself, she's going to go sell that and make money off it like Sarah Palin did. You know, my line was something like, she's going to have TV shows and book deals, and she's going to, from Maine, she'll open, you know, the Olympia's moderate camping supply. You know, our tents want to keep you dry, but, rain. Yeah, exactly. Thank you for the grunted laugh. Anyway, so that was kind of my thing. You know, Dylan on air said, oh, you can't compare to Sarah Palin. I got to explain, like, well, it's not that they're comparable as far as statesman or stateswoman-ish, but for the purpose of my angle, she's created a brand. She's the moderate Republican senator, which I happen to think is half of a load of shit, but I didn't say that. Anyway, so I get all these emails today. People, some of them clearly don't get the whole satire picture, and even those of them that get that it's a satire, just like, you can't compare Sarah Palin to, I don't know why they have an accent.
Yeah.
Can't compare Olympia Snow. And these are like from
You know what? They have an accent.
Okay, they have an accent, and they're like, you can't compare to deedling-a-ding-a-dang. No, left and right, both, so they sign off as Republicans, some of Democrats, and they're just, like, up in arms. And it's, I take it as a matter of pride and accomplishment when I get hate mail. I used to love getting hate mail when I wrote for the Street.com. It was like, oh, I've touched something. And so I feel that way a little bit today, but it's also like, give me a break, like, get that it's satire, and B, you're obviously a little defensive on this woman who has always claimed I'm a centrist, but has rarely acted on that. When her vote doesn't matter, she votes with her conscience. When her vote matters, I don't know that she hasn't. And she hasn't tried to fight her party. For the last 12 years, almost, her party, at least, if not before that, has gone off the rails. And she and Susan Collins and Lincoln Chafee, sort of a moderate, I guess, none of them really fought their party to bring it back. So I kind of say, yeah, you got a point that it is dysfunctional, but fuck you for quitting and washing your hands of it when you were in there, one of 100 people, and you could have tried to save your party and not have it go off a cliff. So anyway, that was my today's hate mail and today's firestorm for me.
Well, you see,
tell me about you.
Well, I mean, that I can understand that people don't understand satire. However, I wasn't being very satirical. When I was on this morning, I sat down at the computer getting ready to write some, you know, little blog post, and there I see that Andrew Breitbart, the short white-maned, drunken, cursing, threatening, always to brawl, red-faced, conservative blogger and gadfly, I guess would be a word we might use.
The Republican id, if you will?
Yeah, Norman Mailer without the brain. And and he died of, you know, who knows? Nobody knows why he died. 43 years old, was out walking, had a heart attack. I'm going to go cocaine without any evidence.
I will go the stress of being evil. Look, I'm 30-something, and I have a heart problem.
Right.
So he was a lot more viciously evil than I am.
True. Not much, but a little.
A little.
But anyway, he also ran the blogs, Big Government, Big Journalism, Big
Hollywood.
He was
one of the first guys that, outside of Limbaugh.
He helped start the Huffington Post. He worked with Matt. He was a protege of Matt Drudge's, which is really scary if you think about it.
Yeah. Didn't help James O'Keefe along?
He helped James O'Keefe. He publicized all and funded James O'Keefe's effort.
He busted Wiener too, right? Wasn't he the guy that did Wiener obsession?
He did. He busted Wiener, Anthony Wiener, and he's one of the reasons that Acorn was destroyed.
Yeah.
And
he's one of the pioneers in the kind of hate-filled rightist.
Right.
You know, I'll even remove the word hate. Just
yes.
For this point. But
you know what? I think Breitbart's minions are after me. My phone is dying.
Oh, really?
Holy crap. My phone is dying.
Oh, awesome.
Hang on.
Well, if you're suddenly not talking, I'll understand why. But
yeah.
He basically, you know, we, I think at one point on the show, complained about CNN hiring Eric Erickson. But Eric Erickson makes, you know, compared to Breitbart, is milquetoasty mainstream.
Not by far.
True.
Not by far at all.
But Breitbart is one of the leaders in this move of say outlandish thing, of sort of, again, branding yourself as this, like, extremist, saying crazy. Half the time it's doing crazy shit just for attention. I mean, you can put him with Ann Coulter and with Michelle Malkin and with Rush Limbaugh as these extremist people. I mean, hopefully we'll get to what Rush has said in the last couple of days.
Right,
but anyway,
right.
Are you back? Is your phone working?
You know what? I went to my cell. I have now tried three kinds of communication. I'm just going to need to be in the studio with you.
Oh.
And I know. I miss you.
You should, because I am here by myself busting Wiener.
Oh, good. So I went on the Twitter machine this morning, and I was looking at all of the liberals, you know, saying, this is really shocking, my best to his wife and four kids, and blah, 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 blah.
And did
blah.
You say, fuck you fucking pussy-ass pussy-asses?
Well, I said, I thought the funniest thing was that a lot of people jumped on and said, is this real? That his lasting legacy is that nobody thought his death was real. at first until the L.A. coroner confirmed it. But I suggested that I think we need a gentle reminder of who Andrew Breitbart was.
Mm-hmm.
And I suggested that they take a look at a Think Progress post that from 2009 on the day that Ted Kennedy died.
Oh, yeah. Didn't he, like, call him he didn't call him an asshole, but it was, like, something like a, I don't know.
No, he called him a big-ass motherfucker, a villain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let me see. The villain one was, Kennedy is my villain. He took me from left to right during the Thomas hearings, really. He read a book about him and wanted to puke. Called him, a duplicitous bastard and a prick. He was a fucker, a big-ass motherfucker. This ain't a 24-hour zone, baby. He was a bad, bad dude. And Mary Jo were your kin, you'd be dancing. Talking about Mary Jo Kopechne, the woman who died in the accident that was Chappaquiddick, that many on the right believe was murder by Ted Kennedy. He also said when somebody called him on it, you know, he said, some conservatives said, hey, you know what? People on the left were assholes when Ronald Reagan died and Tony Snow died. And he said, how dare you compare Snow and Reagan to Kennedy? Why do you grant a bully special status upon his death? So
the fact that you didn't even call Breitbart the name you want to call him. You just pointed out what he had done. Otherwise, are you saying that got you all sorts of...
Oh, let me, shall I give you just some of the recent ones?
Let's see.
Well, lots of people went in and went, you're an inconsiderate asshole. I hope that when you die, people will mock you on Twitter and say that you've gone to hell.
Wow, you know, can I just stop for a second?
Yeah.
That your death... Your fear of your, I'm trying to frame this right, that a lot of people want to live a certain way because they're afraid of hell, but this guy's suggesting you should live a certain way because you're afraid of Twitter.
Exactly. lots of people saying, I don't think he ever left a defenseless woman for dead in a sinking car to protect a political career. Breitbart never killed anybody. There's a good one. Don't you just love people like the Rude Pundit and the rest of the libturds? Oh, here's one that's pithy. Asshole.
Do you think people were just trolling for Breitbart, searching that, and then waiting to find somebody who said something rude so they could respond? Do you know what I mean? Like, are these, I assume, as far as you know, not necessarily your normal readers.
Oh, I think so. Well, and then of course I went ahead and wrote a little something that was a fantasy about Andrew Breitbart in hell.
Is that something you want to do in maybe not bad accent theater, but in some sort of? I can provide some sort of musical background for you, or are you not?
Oh, it's a blog post. People can go to my blog.
Where is your blog?
RudePundit.blogspot.com.
Go ahead. I was going to sing, but that's fine.
Yeah, I don't know that I necessarily need to read it out loud.
No.
But, it also made a number of people, angry at me. So it was, it was kind of a nice day getting, quite literally hundreds of people yelling at me over
Twitter.
Well,
here's the thing. Death comes for all of us. So when someone dies, that shouldn't absolve them of their life's work or shouldn't justify, it shouldn't do anything. I mean, death is something we all share in common, and while we must, yes, respect that he had a wife and children that might not have known or been responsible for what a piece of shit he was, that doesn't change.
About the wife and kids thing. And I'm sorry that I interrupted you.
No, it's fine. I'll say something else later.
But about the wife and kids thing, I mean, just because you removed a malignant tumor from the body doesn't mean that you should feel sorry for the benign cells left behind.
True. I put the kids in a slightly different category than the wife, for what it's worth, because the kids don't have a choice. But, you know, yeah, I'm pretty sure that that probably wasn't a super healthy relationship. If I can do anything of my pop culture human nature test, that people that are full of hate in their public persona are generally full of hate in general. And also, I've got to say, like, I'm sorry, people that tweet out or Facebook out my prayers to the wife and family about people they don't know personally, fuck you, you pretentious little cock monkeys. I don't care if it's, you know, the Dalai Lama or Andrew Breitbart. Like, who? Yeah, so say a prayer if you really feel inclined to do that, but you're tweeting out. It's like, how self-congratulatory is that? How fucking much? How much of a hand job in the public sphere is it to say, look at me, I'm thinking of the family.
See, yeah, that's it.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, I only say yes. Death is always a tragedy. Leaving behind a family is always a tragedy. As you know, I had a heart thing last year, and the thought of leaving behind my not yet fully formed family is terrifying. No doubt, when someone dies, there is a loss of life and of people that rely on that person for something, from financial to emotional support. However, that doesn't absolve that person of whatever transgressions he or she has had. And
yeah,
this dude is a fucking transgression machine.
Yeah, but he's a motherfucker. Well, he was a motherfucker. Now he's a dead motherfucker. And he's my thing was, I'm not condemning a man because he wrote and said some nasty shit. I might even feel a little sad if Eric Erickson died, because frankly it's fun to have people like him and Breitbart who I just have to turn to and get an easy blog post. But here's the thing about Breitbart that makes him a special kind of cockmonger.
Tell it.
He was actively destroying people's lives.
Yeah,
and that's different than just being some bomb throwing, you know, writer or some guy that goes out and, you know, yells at people from the Occupy movement. You're all a bunch of rapists. Or
he not destroyed lives. He destroyed, like, Acorn.
For decades,
real Acorn work for the community, like,
yep,
real things. And I mean, he just, he destroyed people, he destroyed things. Now, look, playing devil's advocate, quite literally in this case, some might argue, well, you know, if you're convinced of something, is it better to actually do something about it, or to just, you know, talk to the empty microphone sphere and just say your words out there? Sure, if you believe in the evil that he did, then you could be happy that he actually acted on his evil thoughts and impulses. But the fact is, what he did on his impulses was destructive. It was never I don't want to say progressive, because that implies a political leaning, but it was never a building something. It was only tearing things down. It wasn't, I think we should have this instead of that, and he started to build the this. It was always crushing the that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that young man may eat a fiery bowl of cocks down in Helltown. Was that in your blog post, by the way, the expression fiery bowl of cocks?
I did not say fiery bowl of cocks. I did say that he ended up in a cold, brightly lit, all-white room with no doors or windows. And he tried to speak and realized he had no voice. And then he tried to make noise, stomping and beating his fists, and no noise came.
Sort of like, was it that Twilight Zone where the guy, everyone's dead but him, and he has all the books, and then he breaks his glasses?
Sure.
You know what I'm talking about, that Twilight Zone?
It's definitely, I imagined a Twilight Zone-y fate for him, yeah.
Okay, good. I'm not saying you went through all the Twilight Zones and chose that one. I'm just saying that
no,
same
no,
thing,
no,
like
I'm
having,
not,
having the
not
one
interested.
Pleasure. It's his one.
I'm not.
No, I think hell is more of a obvious denial of your one pleasure than it is necessarily punishment, if hell exists. You know, people often say my hell is going to be being surrounded by plates of other people's food and having a fork that just can't reach it, because I love eating off other people's plates.
You do.
If you know what I mean.
It's a thing of yours, yeah.
Hey, why fight our nature. I'm sure there's a reason, but, you know, what are you going to do? No. Hey, as long as we're talking about hateful little Fs, I want to make sure I understand this whole, the Rush Limbaugh's latest thing. And I think it's just, it's probably been covered plenty, but it's worth pointing out. So, my understanding is, you know, there's been this whole contraception debate going on in the Congress, actually, in hearings. And we made fun of last week or week before that, how the first of the hearing was all of the
white
male dudes. And then apparently they followed up and they've had some female representation. And one of the people was a female student from, what college was it? Why am I spacing on it? Do you know what I'm talking about? Georgetown.
She was denied. She was actually, her name was Sandra Fluke, and she was actually denied being a. They wouldn't let her speak before the committee.
Right. The original committee hearing, but she spoke in another congressional setting. Right. That's when this came out.
No, she had testimony. She had prepared remarks that were entered into the record.
Oh, I understand.
But she did not get to testify.
Okay, well, that makes it even worse, because I thought they actually had a follow-up hearing where she had spoken, but no, this is just her. She just squeezed it in there. So she, you know, I can't remember if it was her, a friend of hers, testified how somebody had, because of a hormonal treatment, that it wasn't just for, like, preventing birth, but, you know, the benefits of birth control, the cost was something like $6,000, $8,000 a year, and this person had gotten sick. I don't remember the exact detail, but she basically testified about the benefits of having healthcare cover birth control, that for this particular point, it's important to note, went beyond just, I'm not going to have a baby because of all my promiscuous sex.
Right.
And Limbaugh, yesterday, I believe, went on the air and basically said, this girl's a slut, or her friend, or everyone at Georgetown is a slut.
No, he totally went there. He called her. He said that she wants to be paid for having sex. And doesn't that make her a prostitute? Doesn't that make her a slut? Isn't that what we would call her? She's having so much sex she can't afford the contraception. She wants you and me and the taxpayers to pay her to have sex.
So we did that yesterday. By the way, you should do Limbaugh on our Final Edition radio show.
Anytime you want me, I will do Limbaugh for you.
Okay, excellent. 8:30 Thursdays. So it's been like 25 minutes since I hadn't plugged it yet.
No, I know. It's awesome.
So that was yesterday, and of course this whole storm, like, everyone, you got to apologize for Limbaugh, but like, what I am just, like, so proud of, and maybe he did this in honor of Andrew Breitbart for all we know, is apparently today on his show, instead of apologizing, which you know wasn't going to happen, instead of just kind of repeating the same thing, which is kind of what you figure would happen, or finding a way to spin everybody, the apologies, you know, like, well, if it had been a liberal who said this, people would have come out in support of him and Barack Obama, Hussein, or something like that. He said, and of course I'll paraphrase again, basically, you know, all these women at Georgetown, you know, I'll give them all aspirin to keep between their knees, referring to the supporter of Santorum. He said that it was birth control to hold aspirin in your knees. And then he followed up by saying something to the effect of, you know, if they want us to pay for their birth control, the least they can do is let us watch them have sex. Let us watch them use it. Let us have video access to it.
Yes, what he said was that...
I'm a special kind of douchebag. That's what he said. That's my...
He's the finest kind of douchebag.
What do you think... By the way, I know you're looking for the actual words, and we got like 3 minutes left, but do you think this secretly was an homage to Andrew Breitbart today? It dawns on me. Maybe Limbaugh's performance art has taken to a new style.
Oh, that would be great. That would be great. Well, on a more positive note, you know, fuck Rush. Fuck Rush.
Okay, we're done.
About him. Fuck him in his fat face over and over and over again by a bear. And but I think that more importantly today, the Senate, by a wide margin of 3 votes, turned down the amendment that was offered. The
Blunt Amendment.
The Blunt Amendment, yes.
We mentioned that earlier with Olympia Snow.
What's
that? We touched on that earlier, Olympia Snow. We didn't explain what the Blunt... Can you explain the Blunt Amendment in 30 seconds?
the Blunt Amendment was that any business owner or company that carries health insurance can decide what not to cover, what the insurance cannot cover, based on their own religious or moral values. So that means that your boss could say, yeah, I believe that, you know, Ambien is the devil's drug, and you should not be able to get that.
Yeah. So that lost by 3 votes. Do you remember how it voted along party lines? I think Snow was the only Republican.
Was the only Republican across party lines, and Casey and Manchin.
Right. They went the other way for Democrats.
Yes.
Because they're in West Virginia and Pennsylvania. Do you think? Here's a question going back to my Snow comment. Do you think if the outcome had been in the balance, would she have voted against it? I know she's retiring, so she can, quote-unquote, vote her conscience. But
right.
I'm pretty convinced if it had been on the balance, she would have towed the party line still anyway. I'm sorry. Like, I like Olympia Snow and Susan Collins. I like them in theory. But
why?
Well, because in theory, they are moderates. But in practice, they have never once actually, at least, not once in their whole career, but in the last, like, 8-12 years I've paid attention,
they
have never once actually confronted the, whatever you call it, it's called the theocracy, but you know what I mean, the
right,
hierarchy.
No, Olympia Snow completely dicked over Obama on the
healthcare,
on the healthcare reform bill.
Yeah.
Let me just give you real quick.
Yeah,
I know
we got a minute.
A minute. So here's Limbaugh demanding that women post sex tapes online if they use insurance-covered birth control. So, Miss Fluke and the rest of you feminazis, here's the deal. If we're going to pay for your contraceptives and thus pay for you to have sex, we want something for it. We want you to post the videos online so we can all watch.
This has been Cheater and the Rude. We're here every Thursday at 8 on Progressive Radio Network. I'm Jeff Chrysler. You can follow me on the Twitter at Jeff Chrysler and find us at Cheater and the Rude on Facebook.
And I'm Lee Papa, and you can find me on the Twitter machine at Rude Pundit.
Lee, it was a pleasure chatting with you. You know, next week is our one-year anniversary.
One-year anniversary.
We got to do something special.
We should do it drunk.
You mean for a change?
Yes.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.